whenever we want here. We're live. This is Dr. Bill Daigle. It's hour number two on Wednesday. We will soon be actually doing a live video and radio podcast on March 2nd and thereafter with 6 minutes of commercial, 14 minutes live shows Monday to Friday, plus also video 7 days a week. We have Lowell Ponte, one of the most brilliant people I know, who's been working on think tanks for the federal government, written for Writer's Digest, works on financial writing with Craig Smith, who does Fox News business with Neil Cavuto at least once a week on Fox News. Lowell has an interesting article here we're going to pull up because you're actually also, you're a very good what are called geopolitical stand-up comedian. You know that, right? You didn't realize that you could probably do a couple days a month where you go up and people are eating their munchies and get drunk while they listen to you telling them the truth. And they may think you're making it up, but actually it's humorous truth. And the most funny things are actually also the most scary and ugly, too. Just like ancient Greek philosophers would say, they have the mask of the face laughing and the crying at the same time. Because some of the things that are most funny are actually the most scary, too, aren't they?
They are indeed. For example, the Democrats, like Bernie Sanders, proclaiming himself a socialist. He may or may not, by strict definition, be a socialist. He is certainly in favor of vastly higher taxes,
right?
Much more government regulation and so on. But one thing he is, without doubt, we've seen people on the left demanding that the statues of Confederate slave owners from 150 years ago be torn down.
Right.
Because they're so awful that their name is be taken off every possible institution and the like. Well, ironically, those leftists, especially Bernie Sanders, are themselves advocates of slavery.
Well,
they would make you and me into slaves.
Well, you mentioned this before the show today, and you made a very poignant term. And I love how you do it because you crystallize things, because you're a libertarian like I am to some extent, is that the return to serfdom. And I noticed there's three or four things happening in our culture. The wages have gone up until they froze about the mid-80s. And since then, the cost of education, housing, health care, and many other things you need, they're, you know, essentials of life, have increased at an accelerating rate. Some of it's actually by design because they want it young people, about 30 to 40% now, don't even buy a home, get away from mommy and daddy, they're still in the home, they don't have the money to buy a car, start a family. And the globalists want that. They don't want us reproducing. Number two, we have a situation where people are being educated in universities to become socialists or communists because they cause the debt that the students accumulate, so it can't be even written off by bankruptcy. Any other debt, if you have run a business, can be written off. Not your debt if you're a student loan. That's an obscenity to impair that on young people. Then we have the health care. 83% of people who go bankrupt are in the terminal parts of their life, and healthcare is so damned expensive. 83% of people who go bankrupt have fully funded healthcare, whether it's through your business or your corporation you belong to. And yet, people lose their homes and all the money or assets they've accumulated their entire life that would otherwise go to their descendants goes to healthcare industry that's like carrion birds picking at the bones of the dead bodies who are about to die on the way to their grave. Now, why is this happening? Because it's by design. It's not by accident that this is happening. And if Trump wants to get elected, instead of Bernie Sanders Claus or communist, he has to deal with four things. Lower the cost of health care, which you can do, in fact, by getting rid of malpractice, allowing alternative pathways to health care, getting rid of state licensing authorities, and stopping the control by big pharma and big tech on health care, and publishing the actual costs of different treatments in hospitals, so there's openness. And as far as the education, you stop the big, giant funding of universities, and so it's sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars of money for major universities while students are floundering in debt, and when they get out of school, they don't even have a job lined up. Excuse me, too much talking here.
I see the coronavirus is closing in.
Well, it's not on me. I'm just talking a lot. But and the thing is, like I said, I did actually 5 hours of video yesterday, believe it or not, on radio. So my voice is kind of like a little suffering from trying to do too much talking, plus consulting people. But that's okay. I'll have my tea in a second, my soda. I have a Zevia soda here. What I want people to grasp is that the demon rats, and that's a good term, so Judge Pirro and I thought the same term along with my good friend and real Jew, Josh Bernstein, not one of the phony Jews, thought of the term demon rats for the Democrats. And we now have Blomberg, this oligarch who wants to control everything, including taking away our guns and our big sodas. And then we got this other guy, Mr. Potato Head, angry communist, who literally had his honeymoon in Soviet Russia before the fall of the Soviet Union. And he wants to make sure we all do everything. Look, these people are training the young people to want to be diapered by the state. They want to be diapered by the state. And they're turning us all into literally serfs and children that the state is their mommy and daddy. It's sickening, isn't it?
Well, and Americans are going to be given the choice this November on the Democrat side between an outright socialist, probably a communist in many ways,
right,
or someone who could be called many different things, including fascist, but certainly plutocrat.
Well,
in other words, the ninth richest person in the United States, Mr. Michael Bloomberg, and he is, of course, a dementedly self-righteous person who believes in being nanny statist. He believes he should control how much Coke you're able to drink, how much sugar or salt you're able to eat, how much various kinds of trans fats you're able to eat. Oh, and he, of course, will take away your gun, because it just makes no sense to him, even though it's in the Constitution. And he's not proposing amending the Constitution. He's just going to do it by supernatural means. But more than that,
things like these red state laws, you know, these red flag laws, or people like Soros, where they change the Attorney General. See, I don't think he's trying to get elected. He's trying to use this as a caption to allow him to pump in hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, to elect other people to be attorneys general, Congress critters, and senators. And if you can get all these politicians in, he will...
A red flag law of the kind they've just enacted in Virginia, for example, would provide that if someone who doesn't even know you but is an ideologically hater of yours goes to the police and says, he threatened me, that's enough for the police to come and confiscate all your guns. With no court case, with no legal accusation, with no conviction in court, they will just take your guns. In other words, it's another way of getting around the Constitution, getting around the law in order to disarm the populace. But it can be worse. When we talk about health care...
Do they really think that that's going to happen with 93 million armed Americans? Do they want a bloody revolution? By the way, this one, if they got started, would be a lot bloodier than the revolution of the southern states and the northern states. And these maniacs would try this, we would kill them so fast they would know they ever had a pulse.
Well, I noticed that in Virginia, four lawmakers did go over from the Democratic side to the Republican in terms of voting against a ban on so-called assault weapons, which is to say an ordinary rifle that looks like a military weapon, but does not function in any way like a military weapon. So that's being tried too, but in England, you've heard what they're now doing, I'm sure. In England, they have a National Health Service, which largely has supplanted private insurance. After all, your taxes are so high that you can't afford to buy other things
right
in that country. The National Health Service has now declared that as of April Fool's Day, as of April 1st, anyone there, that is somebody just pushing your gurney, someone actually operating on you, a nurse caring for you, and so on. If you say anything that they find personally offensive, if you make some remark they take to be racist, sexist, anti-homosexual, whatever, they can simply declare that you are now denied health care at all.
Are you kidding me?
No. No, that as of April 1st, that is going to be imposed on the British. And, of course, there are many, many things wrong with that, not least of which is it's highly subjective.
Well, they did that in Venezuela. You know, if you're in Venezuela or in China, they say that there's 3.6 million people, this is before the SARS thing happened, lost their citizenship. And in WhatsApp out of Google, the Communist Chinese Party declared that if you say things that have a low social score because the Communist Party doesn't like you from your social score, you can't get a plane, train, or get a drug or any health care. So the same thing happens. Totalitarian regimes, whether you call them communist or plutocratic, like in Britain, basically, they say, if we don't like what you say, you're an apostate, and we'll treat you like an animal and kill you.
And that becomes especially vicious when you think this way. Imagine old age as a disease. There are certain things that happen we know in old age. One of them, and I wrote a large piece on this in National Review many years ago, called Let's Be Sensitive Toward the Insensitive. In my article, I explained by research from the University of Ohio that they find as people age, as they get up into their 50s, 60s, 70s, the inhibition mechanisms in their brain begin to break down. And so things where they would have held their tongue, not said something that was on their mind in the past, by the time they're 70 or 75, they'll just blurt it out. They'll just say whatever they're feeling. And if those feelings are tinged with anything vaguely like racism or anti-homosexuality or whatever, that will just be blurted out, but it itself is a medical condition. It is a symptom of the brain softening up and losing its inhibition there.
Well, you can actually measure it. We measure the voltages across the frontal lobes with a quantitative electroencephalogram. You'll see a loss of coherence pattern frequency matching and decrease in voltage across the frontal lobes. So the executive functions that inhibit bad behavior start to fade. You see it in kids with Asperger syndrome and AIDS and what's called attention deficit disorder, ADD, ADHD.
You mean like Greta Thunberg, something
right.
like that.
Greta Thunberg.
The climate crusader.
Right. She basically has, we call it adolescent Asperger syndrome, and she basically has no frontal lobe inhibition. If I did a quantitative electroencephalogram or did a SPECT blood flow scan or a level to look at her brain activity, we'd see there's virtually none in her frontal lobe. She has no executive inhibition of bad behavior.
So if someone disagrees with her, she doesn't hesitate to call them evil or curse at them or whatever.
Right. She has no frontal lobe inhibition. And so it doesn't necessarily have to occur in seniors. It can occur in someone earlier if they've had toxic vaccines that damage their brain and their blood-brain barrier, or if they've had a traumatic brain injury, or if they've had toxic exposure to toxic drugs, like fentanyl or some of the toxic drug they had, like, you know, that's going to increase dopamine levels and burn out their brain tissue. So
there's another factor here, too, and that is there have been found many microorganisms now that infect people, one from cats and so on, that tend to break down inhibitions, that tend to make people inclined toward more risk-taking behavior.
You're talking about things like
statements and so on.
You're talking about like toxic carcatus and canis. And there was a movie a few years ago, a show on TV called Monsters Inside Me, and they actually would show pictures of the back of the eye, and you could do a slit lamp examination of the back of the eye, and you could see the worms of toxic carcatus and canis were squirming around the back of the eyeball live on a slit lamp examination of their eyeballs. Those little buggers can be in your brain too.
Yeah, and the point being that here, too, the symptom of a disease may be used to prevent the British National Health Service from treating any disease.
Well, you got to understand, this is a form of eugenics, because the British have decided. Now, remember, I was watching the series, miniseries, The Crown, with the Queen of England. I called her the chief reptile. And her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, who said if he died in 1988, he made the statement, if he died, he wanted to come back as a pandemic virus to kill the human race. You know that, right? It's a well-known statement by his.
There is a Cambridge academic named Professor Patricia McCormick, who's just written a book called The A Human Manifesto, who says the human race must become extinct to save the planet.
Well, how about I want to send her a T-shirt saying me first? I want to send her a me first T-shirt. So
she should lead by example.
She should actually commit suicide and remove her from the gene pool so she stops aggravating the rest of us alive.
Yeah, the same way that these politicians or left-wing presidents who advocate total gun confiscation, they should be required first to totally disarm their own Secret Service detachment.
Right, if they have a Secret Service and want to attack them, we just go out and get clubs and club their Secret Service into mush. And they have no bullets or any way of preventing us from doing it. So even if they have martial arts, if we have clubs, simple clubs, we can just club them to death. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. But the point being, Why don't these people of all different kinds lead by example?
You know why they don't? Because
the president says we don't need guns for self-defense.
I'll tell you what,
we're a peace-loving society.
People like Blomberg believes that the whole society is a video game, and they want the avatar to be the controller of the video game controller. People like Blomberg aren't necessarily intelligent; they're control freaks. These are people that are mentally ill with a strange kind of what we call narcissistic egomania, where they believe they have the right because they're billionaires to control everything else because they're rich enough. And most of the time when they're rich is because they're corrupt. For example, I watched him making a statement about how when the Communist Chinese want to publish something, he said, well, they have us rules and we follow their rules, so we publish where they want to have it published. He's not even hiding the fact that they're allowing the Communist Chinese to actually call and decide which articles are published where. Just like CalPERS here in California, the public utilities company that has $385 billion in their fund. They got a guy who was born in Communist China, moved here when he was 25. He's running the whole agency for the Communist Chinese Party, and they're investing the money in advanced weapons and all kinds of technology to monitor the Communist Chinese people. And eventually,
and that is money that was taxed away from workers and others in California to pay pensions for government workers here.
Right. And that money, by the way, is now funding the Communist Chinese to develop weapons to eventually take over America when our society collapses. Well, with the SARS coronavirus, the Chinese society is collapsing now. They've actually gone and dropped the R-naught, which is the frequency of repetitive reinfection, from 6.7 to only 3.5 by literally welding the doors of apartment buildings and shooting people when they get the first signs that they may have the SARS coronavirus. And it's not stopping the spread. It's just simply slowing it down by half. So the rate is doubling, which we now have data that it's doubling at the rate of doubling every 2 days, that this is going to affect hundreds of millions of people in a matter of months. And as far as we know, China is going to cease to exist as a nation that we think. They're going to be a shadow of their former self.
It's ironic because a few decades ago we were afraid that the Japanese were a super nation that was going to take over the world and that we could do nothing
to
stop it.
Well, the Japanese are not even reproducing. The young people don't even have sex. 45% of young men and women don't even have sex with the alternate sex. And they have these cyber brothels.
Nevertheless, this is what happens to countries that have that kind of ambition. First Japan, then China. And of course, before that, it was Napoleon and others. But
yeah,
there is this strange attitude among some people that they're terribly superior because they're good at one limited, narrow thing. At least Napoleon was good at war, at fighting battles. But Michael Bloomberg, for example, is good at developing a particular technology to facilitate news transmission. By the way, he says now if he's elected president, he's going to give up his entire news empire that made him 60-some billion dollars. But that is not a qualification to be president.
Well, I think it's
just a coincidental fact that let him earn all these billions of dollars, but it did nothing to qualify him to be a presidential leader of the people.
I think the man is basically what I call a Napoleonic complex. At least Napoleon was competent. This guy isn't.
Because he's short.
Well, it's not just short. He's short of common sense, logic, and evidence.
Well, he may be short in more than one place.
Right, right. And the problem is we got Bernie Sanders Claus, who believes somehow communism helps to save people. And one of the things I've learned about human beings is no one is created equal. There's people taller than me that are better at basketball. There's people that are faster than me at running. But there's no one that I've ever met smarter than me, period. There isn't. They may know a different language, but if I spend enough time with people, I can absorb what they know and what I know. My father used to say, if I know what you know and I know, I'll know more than you. So no one is created equal. And the problem, the thing that makes America so exceptional, no matter what race you came from, is it celebrated exceptionalism, which it celebrated it and supported it, which is why whether you're black, white, Hispanic, or Mongolian, you have different sets of genes were selected for because you could succeed here. So the genetic hybridization of the planet of our people that have come to America and succeeded is genetically distinct from any other population on Earth. We're genetically different than other people because we left our town or city that wouldn't migrate more than 20 miles a century or so ago.
Yeah, we talked about my columns on that.
Right. And so, you know, my ancestors and your ancestors and others were actually brave enough and bold enough and willing to ask questions enough. And by the way, questions don't come from the physical mind, they come from your soul. Curiosity does not come from the physical mind, which is why they can't teach computers to be truly intelligent like humans. They're trying to do a thing called deep learning so they can teach them how to recognize a truck or something or a scan on an MRI scan. But there's no such thing as artificially intelligent curiosity. It comes not from it comes from your higher self or your soul, not from your mind. And curiosity is the thing that sets itself from any other animal or any other creature, including computers. They may have tons of data. They don't have any curiosity. They won't ask questions that go beyond the end of their intentions or their sensors or their data sets. And that's
American exceptionalism comes both from curiosity and from an impulse to want to know what's on the other side of the hill, from an impulse to want to have freedom, to practice your religion, to engage in business, to create your own ideas and inventions and so on. And only about 2% of people, until at least the Renaissance, only two people out of every 100 ever moved more than 25 miles from where they were born.
Well, people have to understand.
They just stayed put. Our ancestors, however, are all people who pulled up their roots, came across oceans, and came here.
Right, which is why America has 4% of the world population, and we control 2/3 to 3/4 of the world economy. 4% controls 3/4 of the world economy, because that's what makes us exceptional. And literally, if you look at the people that either were here or came here, including Nikola Tesla, that invented electricity, and all the other people inventing everything from medicine to radiology, virtually everything in the world, including the patents, were invented by Americans and, to a lesser extent, Canadians and Europeans from Britain and elsewhere. But to the greatest extent, 90% of patents in the world are American-made. We invented the 21st century, didn't we?
Oh, we did indeed. Now, but you see, curiosity and the willingness to innovate is something that takes a great deal of courage if you're a ruler.
Right.
Now what I mean by that is, for example, there was a brief moment around the time of the birth of Islam, when Islam taught, literally as part of its doctrine, that God gave you a brain to use it.
Right, well, that's why for a while.
You to learn and study and share information and so on. And then some intellectuals began to question the Quran itself. And as soon as they did that, the governments like Baghdad became very, very nervous and angry, and the religious conservatives took over, and once they did, they crushed all dissenting opinion.
Right, for a while there, Islam was actually intellectually ahead of Christianity and other organizations on earth, only because they encouraged curiosity. Right,
but that was short-lived. That's
right.
That's one of the tragedies.
Now, what's happening here? De Tocqueville made this statement a couple hundred years ago when he came to America from France, and he made this statement that I thought was interesting. You probably know this one: America is not great because of their resources, but because of the people and their willingness to take chances to create their own future. And what people don't understand, he's also saw America going through cycles like every nation. Eventually, they want the state to be there to take care of them and manage them. And that's what we see with young people nowadays. People who are, say, under 30 years of age, they want the nanny state to be their mama and their daddy. They don't want to accept the wisdom from people your age or my age. They think the state must be their mommy and daddy.
That's right. They're permanently infantilized.
They're infantilized, and they want the state to diaper them. So we have.
And part of that is because early on, they take out student loans now on an order above $1.6 trillion in the economy, vastly more than credit cards. And their attitude is, I've got myself into a situation I can't get out of, therefore I have to let mommy and daddy get me out of it. I have to let somebody else care for me. And that is backed by leftists like President Barack Obama saying, you didn't build that.
Well, I have.
Whatever you achieved was actually credited to the government or to me. That's what Barack Obama's pushing.
My three sons, who have all kinds of advanced degrees, have not won 1 cent of student loans. We paid for everything. And we didn't want them to be shackled so they can actually get married, have a wife and children. So I have two of my sons who are getting married now, and the third one's actually getting married. So all three. And none of them will be shackled with debts, which are shackling 95% of young people nowadays. With a debt that'll prevent them from delaying or ever having a family and children. And once the women are beyond 35 years of age, the chances of them having a defective baby, because baby, by the way, don't kind of happen because the mother's defective. It's because the mother's healthier at 35 or older, and she has better nutrition, so if a baby's defective, it's more likely to survive. It's the opposite of what you think. So defective babies will live better in a 35-year-old mama because their nutrition is better than a younger mama who's eating poorly, and the 35-year-old mama will actually
keep... I have heard it said, and I spent 15 years as the science editor at Reader's Digest,
right,
that if you have a baby when you are old, and I myself was the last gasp of the dying ovary. My mother was 38, 39 when she had me.
Right.
But babies born in that state tend to be either significantly brighter than average or significantly dumber than average.
Well, my grandmother's youngest child, you know how old she was when she had him, my Uncle Johnny? Make a guess.
Her name was Sarah, and she was 90 years old.
No, she was 57 when she had Johnny. My uncle, my youngest uncle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 57.
Without help of drugs today, that would be quite exceptional.
Yeah, but the thing is that she's basically the Celtic. She actually spoke Celtic Gaelic until she was 22, and she learned. She was a music teacher of a fiddle, organ, and piano. And she was from Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, which is more Celtic than Scotland or Ireland now. You know, she came from a place...
You remember probably when the Canadian premier was the first Mr. Trudeau, not the one now. And he was going to visit the Maritimes.
Right.
And so he handed down a dictate, I want a bilingual driver to drive me around when I'm in Nova Scotia. And they said, we will do so, Mr. Prime Minister. He got there, and they did indeed have a bilingual driver who spoke English and Gaelic.
Right, because...
he didn't specify the language.
Well, people have to understand, you go to Cape Breton, most of the people in Cape Breton, like my parents and grandparents, I spoke some Gaelic myself. There's the two languages in Nova Scotia, New Scotland, are Gaelic and English. They're not French. French is a tiny minority in Nova Scotia because they were deported to Louisiana... With the failure of the French to keep their colonies in Port Royal and Fort Anne, and my ancestor were the original Daigle in Nova Scotia, which is the father of all the Daigle families, which, by the way, is the largest group of people because they have 3 to 4 males for every female. So when they have a get-together back hundreds of years after they were moved to New Orleans in the areas of the southern United States, the largest family out they're moved down from Port Royal and Fort Anne, Nova Scotia, are the Daigles. D-A-I-G-L-E or D-E-A-G-L-E. We are the largest ones.
Uh-huh. Now, in Canada, it's very interesting. They remained a feudal society. That is, people were happy to come to the English colonies in North America because in those colonies, you could become a property owner. You could advance your social status.
Right.
But in the most of the Canadian colonies, you could not. If you were born a peasant and you came as a peasant from France, you remained a peasant. You could not advance. But they did have one advantage. They had a welfare state. And it said, you will get a government pension if a wife and husband have 6 children. And so they became very good breeders in Quebec.
Right. Until, I think, the 1980s, where all of a sudden their population collapsed. They were on the way to actually becoming the majority of the Canadian population after Pierre Elliott Trudeau, and what happened with the religion kind of went to hell and the social...
No, they survived at all.
Right. Well,
that was the... And, of course, this is all part of the nightmare of Wolfe and Montcalm fighting for the great French fortress at Quebec, when Montcalm knew, as he was inside the fortress and surrounded by an English army, that a French army was marching and would be there in 2 to 3 days to support him, and he would then win. But Montcalm, fool that he was, as the French representative, decided he would come out and fight the English then on that battlefield, which he had no reason to do. The English could never have penetrated the fortress. And so, in effect, he gave away French Canada.
Right, there was no need for it, right?
By the way, both he and Wolfe died in the battle.
Yeah, I know both of them.
Both the French and English
leaders. Well, isn't that stupid? And they decided, oh, well. And so that's how, you know, Canadian has a strange history, doesn't it?
It does.
I watched a special on this, on one of these channel that blues on Netflix about the Canadian history, about Canada. And I think because of Canada, they have a better sense of humor than anybody else I know on Earth, because they're self-deprecatory, they're always polite, even when they disagree with you, and they're afraid of offending you by their very existence. And on average, most Canadians are actually brighter than anybody else I know on Earth, because they're not full of preconceived ideas, so they're willing to accept new ideas or evaluate them at least.
And they've produced a great deal of talent in that country. By the way, I came to love Canada when for two or three years, I was a regular on the 90 Minutes Live show, the CBC's equivalent of the Tonight Show.
Right.
So you'll find
you know the highest IQs of any popular people in the population who group
Israel, probably.
No, I'm talking about groups of people they're quantum physicists and comedians. The highest IQs of anybody in society are quantum physicists and comedians.
Actually, I was hired to be a think tank analyst for the Pentagon because I edited a satire magazine.
Right. And that's why
they looked at me and they said, you know, we are all very well trained and very knowledgeable, but we all think the same way. We need someone like you, Lowell, who can think totally different thoughts than would even occur to us.
Right.
To deal with terrorism.
Well, you know, I'm actually working on a new project, and listen to how this works. I think that the idea of an IQ test is out of date, because intelligence quotient is based on the thesis that I believe in what's called maggot university, whether it's pastors or politicians or professors. If you eat the defecation that they make intellectually, and you defecate intellectually like them, you pass whether you're in a church or a political realm or a university or an educational institute, whether it's law or medicine or science.
Something like that was told to me when I was a little group of supposedly selected geniuses.
Right. So here's what
the university, and what they told me was, once you get up to the range of IQ 140, you're smarter than the people who wrote the test.
Right. So here's what happened.
Therefore, they're not capable of measuring.
They had an IQ test that was measured in grade 9, and I did the IQ test in a third of the time, and I got all the test questions right. And he said, Your IQ is so high, Deagle. When I was brought to Mr. Bremel's office, we can't measure how high your IQ is. He said, don't let the other students find out, because I had the highest aptitude and scores in every course I took, you know, way over aptitude, over 100 on all the tests. And I said, he said, it's all based on curiosity, I said to him. He said, do we know that? He said, you're different. My teacher in grade 7 said, Deagle, she wanted to say, I'm promoted me to recess and need to walk with you. And I said, why? She said, I want to talk to you. She says, Deagle, you're a diamond. And she said, I've been polishing pebbles for like 40 years as a teacher. He said, but you're a diamond. I'm here not to dull the diamonds, but to polish the pebbles, she said. Okay? And that's my teacher in grade 7. And what I want people to understand, I can actually make people smarter. I'm going to put up my videos to actually show people how to do what's called brain exercises to raise your IQ and raise what's called your curiosity index. Now, I'm working on a branch tree questionnaire using AI. And if you go through my questionnaire, it'll determine how many cognitive dissonant ideas you have in your head. Because dissonance is directly inversely proportional to your curiosity index. So curiosity is directly related to wisdom. And questions do not come from your mind, they come from your higher self, your soul. So someone with a very high IQ, they've actually had what's called stronger soul speak. So when someone sleeps at night, it's the dreams, they don't realize this, are actually soul speak of your soul talking to your physical mind. Isn't that interesting? And when you have a new intuition, it's actually an idea or a thought that transcends time, space, or goes beyond your current senses, that actually is a question raised by your soul, not your mind. So when you have Einstein... Yeah. So in other words, this questionnaire is going to be able to identify the number of cognitive dissonant ideas in your head and can give you an inverse score, which will tell you what your curiosity index is, which is actually more important than your so-called IQ. IQ basically is a measure of, do you match up? Will you reproduce the educational outlines or spiritual outlines of your teachers and, say, you know, pastorate school or politicians or law school? Will you reproduce their ideas and their preconceived ideas? Because if you're really too inquisitive, you're going to extend beyond them and you're going to cause trouble for the establishment, because they want to keep you in line. They want you to keep you being a good sheep, or what I call, they want to lemmingize you to make sure that you do not step out of line, right?
Yes. Yeah, I remember at age 5, it occurred to me that everything is connected to everything else in the universe.
Right.
And so the only thing worth knowing is the nature of those connections. That's what fascinates me.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question now before we go to break here. And people say, Deagle, what are you? I said, I'm an unusual human being. Somebody like me comes on every so many centuries or so, like Johann Goethe or Einstein or Sebastian Bach, the musician, or Nikola Tesla. And we transcend the normal levels of our senses to imagine, which basically imagination doesn't come from the mind, it comes from the soul. And it's a gift. So that people like us are like the spice in society, so society survives. Because we give the vision, and God says in the Bible, my people perish for lack of vision. Vision doesn't come from people that are politicians or pastors or people that just teach how to do the same thing they've done. It comes from vision, from people who see beyond their senses. And so people say, well, why do you do your show? I said, I do it because I'm desperate to get the truth out, because I realized since I was a little child, I had a very high curiosity index. And I couldn't deal with cognitive dissonance. And I realized the thing that sets me aside is if someone says something that doesn't fit with what I know is reality, my brain says, well, warning, Will Robinson in my head. I can't deal with it. So I dream literally when I go to sleep at night in equations and thoughts that have to be cognitively non-dissonant, okay? And that's the thing that the society somehow has learned to accept, is ideas that directly conflict with each other. So depending on how many ideas people have in their heads, whether it's about health or geopolitics or whatever, they have cognitive dissonant ideas that are in direct conflict with each other, but they're perfectly happy to live with them. I call them playing with their mental blocks. And that's why we have people listening to the communists with Bernie Sanders Claus or Blomberg, because people think these alternatives are reasonable. In fact, I saw an interview this morning talking about whether you'd still vote Democrat, whether it's Blomberg or Bernie Sanders Claus, and they said, well, I don't really want to, but I'm a Democrat, so I'll still vote. I'm thinking, you got two bad alternatives, both horrifying, and you're going to vote for one or the other because you're a really good lemming, right?
By the way, isn't it interesting that something that happened in the last 48 hours, two candidates, Amy Klobuchar and Tom Steyer, were asked by an interviewer a very simple question: what is the name of the president of Mexico? And neither of them knew. I mean, they want to be president of the United States, and they don't even know the name of the leader of the country next door to us. His name, of course, is Andres Manuel López Obrador.
Right, and of course, you know, I got various terms for these politicians. They're part of what I call the slitherocracy, because the left and right are pushing themselves toward their goal. The liocracy, and I call them also the blitherocracy, because they just know how to blither. They even don't know the facts, even base their logic on. The blitherocracy.
Yeah, well, all they know is how to fool people. In fact, there was a very interesting episode once, many decades ago, of My Favorite Martian, in which Ray Walston, playing the Martian,
right,
is asked, what is it like to be a politician? And he said, quite accurately, well, when you're asked a question, the first thing that enters your mind is, how can I avoid answering this question? And of course, the way politicians do it is they take the question that's asked of them, they mold it quickly into their own question. They then ask their own question and they answer their own question, which is different usually from the question that was put to them.
Right. I see that, for example, with people like our Mormon idiot. I'm not even going to mention his name, you know. That's literally the rhino from Utah. Right? Romney. But people got to understand
it. The fellow who may have had four major motives for betraying Donald Trump, yes.
Right. Now, you got to understand, including him, and you can go over those major motives. One of them is one of his cohorts is actually directly involved with some very bad corruption that's going on. And, of course, he had to be to do this.
But and he also sat, and that cohort of his actually sat also on the board of Burisma in Ukraine, making vast amounts of money, just like Hunter Biden.
Right, now.
So he may have had an incentive to stifle that. But no, what's interesting is, what would have stopped Romney? Well, Romney was a princeling. Romney was raised with a father who was governor of Michigan and who ran for president.
Right.
And who taught his son, you are destined, my son, to become president. Well, nowadays, Mitt Romney, as long as he's a Republican, he has no chance of ever being president again because of his betrayal of Trump. So what he has apparently been offered secretly is, would you like to be the vice president one heartbeat away from Michael Bloomberg?
Whoa.
And we could therefore have a Republican-Democrat ticket. We could end the hostility in the U.S. Everyone would love you, and you could be president after little Michael Bloomberg, who doesn't really want to be president anyway. He just wants to own the American government. So this is his bid to buy the government cheap.
Right.
He could buy the American government for a couple of tens of billions of dollars. That's nothing.
So if he didn't die, then Bloomberg could go, the second term could be run by Romney, and Romney would then become the puppet of Bloomberg, and he, as I say, you remember that song with Pinocchio, I have no strings. He would have strings.
I think it was a combination of that offer on the one hand, and on the other, the fact that he was probably being blackmailed. The same blackmail Obama used to stop him in the second and third debates when Romney was running against him in 2012.
Yeah.
That blackmail is still there, and it's something Romney wants to keep secret so desperately willing to let Obama win the presidency.
I think Romney is smarter than people realize because he was beating the heck out of Obama, and then all of a sudden became...
In the first debate, yeah.
Yeah, he almost crumpled, and it's like, what the heck? It's like a professional fighter. You go in there, it's like... The other opponent didn't have a chance of winning. And then all of a sudden, Obama looked like he was like a superhero. It's like, what the hell? Didn't make sense.
Romney turned from a lion into a lamb instantly.
Yeah.
So
Romney literally caved because somebody had goods on him, right?
That's my speculation.
I think the main reason.
Of course, there's also the obvious reason. Romney, compared to Trump, is a failure both as a business person and as a politician. I mean, Trump bested him wildly on both those categories. And then, when Romney went on his knees, literally crawling to Trump, to say, please, 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 make me your Secretary of State, Trump looked at him and said, you have no qualifications in foreign policy. Don't be silly.
Right.
And, of course, he's picked some other people who didn't really have needed qualifications either. But he said no to Romney, and Romney has never forgiven him. There's a combination of envy and a desire for revenge on Romney's part that has made him basically an enemy of every decent American in the country.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen. Right now, Trump is on the edge of becoming the greatest leader since we had King David, or becoming the Antichrist. And I'm going to put this thesis forward to you. Did you know that his son-in-law, who's a wizard, Jared Kushner, because modern Judaism is not like ancient Judaism, after 1,300 years in Babylon, they're basically wizards and warlocks. And he worships Rabbi Schneerson, who basically is a Jewish descendant of the Babylonian version of Judaism, which is not ancient Judaism, it's modern wizardry Judaism, like no different than...
Are you saying don't read the Babylonian Talmud?
Babylonian Talmud and the Sefiot Zaira. Have you ever read the Sefiot Zaira?
Nope.
If you read it, you'll become an atheist. Let's put it that way, if you're a Jew. Okay?
So many have,
so they become atheists. Now, you have to understand this, people. If you think you know better than Deagle, I double-dog, triple-dog dare you to come in on my show live and see if you can intellectually fence with me, because I am the intellectual Superman, and I have got a cage where you can't crawl to the top. I'm going to beat you to death and leave a mark. And I'm not nice over you.
Unfortunately, I am just your Sancho Panza.
I'm not nice for a reason, because I want people to realize that I have ultimate wisdom, and you need to damn well listen to me. And if you have a question, you can raise it. But the problem is when people think they want to just do the nominum attacks. And what's going on in our society is we're dying. We're dying now of the SARS super plague. We're dying because we don't have missile defense. We're dying because we have no EMP defense. We've got the supernova Betelgeuse collapsing. We're in solar minimum. We have every country on Earth has now built bioweapons.
This is one of the 12 brightest stars in the sky. It's one of the shoulders of Orion.
Right, and when as that collapses, those gravity waves are going to precipitate a crustal slip called a pole shift. I have all the science here.
I wrote about that, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago.
Right. So here's what's happening. Every problem on Earth or off Earth, I have a solution for, scientifically and otherwise. But I'm getting deaf ears now. 3 weeks ago, God said, your days Rodney Dangerfield Eagle are over. People are going to start taking you seriously. Literally, the night at 3:30 in the morning, I launched my paper and my material on the SARS coronavirus. Now, when I gave it to my friend, Dr. Ron Klatz and Dr. Bob Goldman, head and founder of the American Academy 26 years ago, of the Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, I thought at first they're going to post it to 30,000 doctors. And Dr. Goldman came back and said, no, Deagle, you got to take all the credits that you have and all your qualifications, and you got to take out all the marketing for all your products and just present the evidence. That's useless. You know what it is? People don't want to give Deagle credit because they don't want to think that somebody like me exists or I have the solutions to every problem. And people need to realize I can solve the problem of earthquakes, volcanoes, gravity waves causing a crustal slip, missile defense, healthcare, life extension, every disease known to man I know the cause of now. Do you know that? I know the cause of.
No, and you're basically right. If you're not there to offer a solution to something, people don't want to hear the problem. They just as soon want to close their ears.
Well, the problem is, you see, the days of me being attacked for actually thinking I have all these things are over. Now, the reason why I say that is very important is because God sends people like me as a prophet and an apostle and to bring other co-prophets. And people like you, you may not fully accept this yet, but if you haven't rejected me fully and say, well, you know, Deagle's a nut, and he's a narcissistic egomaniac, which I'm not, because most people who are narcissistic are usually incompetent, and they want to be pumped up because they want to feel good about themselves. I don't really have any need for people to like me, although I love them. Okay, so I'm a grown-up adult spiritually, and I don't require people to love me, just like God doesn't require you to love him for him to love mankind, okay? So people have to realize that I'm here back from the dead to save people not only their physical suffering and their nation's dying, but also eternal salvation of their eternal soul. And they have to realize somebody like me doesn't come along very often. And I'm here to bring forward people like you that I believe you have a calling, even though you haven't fully accepted everything I say. You're curious enough that you say, you know, I don't think Deagle's a nut. I think this guy is special. There's something about him that's saying truth to the power of evil that's going on in our world. And right now, guess what? 3 weeks ago on January 27th, 2020, the first day of the apocalypse started. We are 3 weeks into the beginning of the end of the secular age of the Luciferic control of mankind. This is it, man. This is a big show. This is not a rehearsal. And I'm not going to give you a timeline saying it's going to be so many years or another sign. If there is a sign, God will tell me. But I'm going to tell you right now, things like the release of the SARS coronavirus, the big conflict with Iran and Israel where they're talking about bombing the Bashar reactor, which Israel is just ready as hell to do. We're teetering on a world economic collapse, and you're talking about this with your friend Craig Smith in your book. By the way, I wanted you to advertise again. Because the seventh book, when people have to understand, we're teetering, and they want to create a collapse because the next level of economy they want totalitarian control, they want cyber money, and they want you to be in a cybernetic matrix, and if they press alt-delete, you cease to exist. You can't even buy food or even get health care, just like in communist China or in Venezuela or now in Britain as of April 1st. And people need to realize we are entering the matrix. And people say, oh no, Dr. Deagle, you're making it up. October 10th, 1993, I was visited by the angel Gabriel who brought me to the city from which the mark of the beast will come. 9 months to the day, I went through all the classified facilities that I now got security clearance and started working for years with U.S. Missile Defense Command, Space Command, and the Virtual World Project. I was their doctor. And because I have an IQ well over 200, I absorbed everything. There's nothing I don't know. And I have contacts inside these secure agencies, and people say, Dr. Deagle, you've got to be crazy. I said, well, you might want to use terms like that because you don't want to accept that what I'm saying might be true. I said, don't believe anything I say, please. Just go off and pray and dream and just say, you know, is this guy nuts or does he have an agenda? Is he trying to get money? Is he trying to control me? Is he trying to this? No, he's not. Maybe I'm just trying to save their hide. Like I'm a spiritual and physical and geopolitical and health firefighter trying to save their butt from destruction. Because believe me, the human race has teetered on disaster. The converging disasters in the near future are going to end the human race from artificial intelligence and the beast to the proliferation of biological and chemical and nuclear weapons to the earth changes that are about to happen with the solar minimum and the collapse of Betelgeuse. The human race is finished. Without somebody like me showing up, it's done. And God said to me over many, many visions over the last 10 years that the event that will end the New World Order is the solar collapse of a supernova. And he showed me all the scientists, including Dr. Stephen D. Jacobson at Northwest University with Ringwoodite, and the release of the nascent oxygen hydrogen, that the supernova, which started to collapse in December 2019, is the event that will end the New World Order. When it all finishes, I don't know when it'll be, but it'll be months or years, the crustal slip of the Earth and them going deep underground to the deep underground military bases is the end of the New World Order, and it's going to end the little buggers. They're no longer going to control
cycles. Well, there are at least 10 major plagues hitting us right now, half of them bacterial or viral. The locusts that you've seen in Africa have now made their way to the edge of China.
Right.
Extremely bizarre weather patterns all over the world. Unprecedented flooding all over the world. Major earthquakes. Unusual volcanic eruptions we've talked about.
Yeah, those are happening because of the gravity waves coming. We have a thing, have you ever heard of a thing called LIGO, L-I-G-O, and Virgo? In 2017,
there are two LIGO experimental stations, one right. in Louisiana, one in Washington State.
And what these do is these are actually detecting what's called their long-range gravitonic observatories. And they picked up the gravity waves from Betelgeuse's collapsing. Now, people might say it might happen in days. No, it's going to happen over probably months or years. And as it collapses, it's going to cause giant gravitonic waves, which is distortions in time-space, and they shake the unstable nuclei of Ringwoodite, releasing water that lowers the melting point of rock, creating magma, and all the earthquakes, volcanoes, and all the crustal slips of the Earth are triggered by supernovae. They may be triggered by CMA if it's directly aimed at us and hits us hard enough, but you see, CMA only lasts for a couple hours, right? A supernova lasts for months or years. You know that, right?
Well, you can see the Crab Nebula today.
Right. So it's very likely that the supernova of Betelgeuse, as its P2 red giant star collapses, is going to be over years or even decades. But the events of this Betelgeuse are going to precipitate the cataclysmic changes of the Earth. 671.2 light years.
Well, as I said, we're facing at least 10 major plagues now.
Right, well, you guess what?
Viral plagues, in addition to coronavirus, we have the African swine fever that's spreading worldwide, commonly known as pig Ebola. That sounds wonderful.
Right.
There's another swine flu, N1, or H1N1. There is a bird flu.
Right.
H5N1. There is another bird flu. In other words, we're losing both the world supply of pig flesh and of birds. Talk about the other.
Well, the birds, they actually recalculated in Canada in the last 20 years that we've lost 40% of the population of birds and insects. And 5G network, by the way, is what's called e-toxins. Now, an e-toxin, let me explain how it works. If you have a mercury ballast light in your ceiling, the mercury actually interferes with anything with the same valence frequency pattern in the periodic vertical line in the table of elements. So zinc metalloenzymes get knocked out, and your animals exposed to it get a surge of zinc, copper, superoxide dismutase, free radical single oxygen.
Where you don't age.
And so when you have an e-toxin, if you have a frequency of depleted uranium, for example, what happened to me 26 years ago is one of my patients who was an NSA agent said, "Hey, Deagle, I know you're a very curious guy and I know you know stuff. So he said, I want you to come out and see my come up the parking lot." I said, "Why?" And he pumped the truck and I said, "What the hell is that?" He said, "It's a satellite phone." I said, "I thought you retired." He said, "You don't retire from the NSA." We used to call them the No Such Agency. That's how funny we are, right? No Such Agency. So he said, "We used to get double tapped in the 70s if they didn't like you and they wanted to terminate you. They hit you with 22 caliber bullets, two to the forehead, two to the left ventricle. There's no exit wound, not a lot of blood to clean up." Ooh, I see. But he said, since then, it was a do or direct injury weapon. Now, you got to understand, Deagle knows quantum biophysics. My first lecture on this, and I did research and developed a thing called Dynatens, I have patents on, 1986. I did my first lecture on quantum physics called Phonon Maser Cytogenetics. It's quantum energy transfer equation to present to 43 scientists, including the head of the Department of Biophysics and triple boarded specialists and PhDs in physics and so on in 1982, 38 years ago. Deagle's not any average person, okay? I'm a super genius. And when I presented this stuff, the scientists couldn't believe it. And one guy came up from the head of the department and he said, "You know what, Deagle? If you can prove this, you're going to go through hellish persecution. And it'll take you 50 years for people to accept the truth of what you've discovered." Guess what? I'm getting there. I'm only 12 years away from that 50 years. And what I just...
Well, Alas, I'm not a super genius myself. But
well, I want people to understand this.
I do write things, and then the good news is, by the way, I've written 7 books with Frank Smith,
right,
who you see as a financial expert. I'm with Neil Cavuto about once a week.
Well, you are a genius.
Our book, Money, Morality, and the Machine, our 7th book, by the way, is absolutely free to your listeners right now. And that means we pay the postage, we pay everything. It does not cost you a penny. You just call a toll-free number, 800-630-1492.
The reason why I have you on the show is because you're... Yeah, the reason why I have you on the show regularly is you are a genius, even though you don't want to recognize. You also have a prophetic and apostolic calling. No, no, it doesn't matter. You see, I'm a little bit exceptional, but you still are a genius and you're right, and you have your area of knowledge where you can teach me things when I talk to you, okay? So I want you to know that. But I also want people to realize you need to get your books, and I want you to repeat the number, because if they read these books and ask better questions, it's 3 things I tell people to do. Ask better questions, don't believe anything I say or you say. Pray on it, and then when you find the truth, act on it. If they do those 3 things, their society will be saved. Because our people perish for lack of vision. Vision comes from being questioning the truth and finding what it is and then acting upon it. And it's not going to be saved by democracy or communism or some other political or religious system. It's going to be saved by seeking the words of questions that come from your soul, from the higher self, and from the Creator God. Questions come from your soul, come ultimately from the Creator. They do not come from the physical mind of mankind. And if you don't ask better questions, you don't seek the truth, you don't get the documentation in the books, and pray on it, our society is going to die. And the same truth, by the way, these words I'm saying on the show today will be remembered 1,000 or 1,000,000 years from now, we're in a distant world in a civilization, and they'll remember these as scripture and realize the truths I'm saying today, if a society doesn't believe this, no matter how advanced their technology is, that society, that civilization will die. It'll implode. Because God is the only source of truth, and truth goes through your higher self or your soul, and you're directed by soul speak or curiosity during the days you're awake, and by dreams with soul speak when you're asleep. Isn't that amazing?
To clear the body of bacteria, microbacteria, and parasites, penetrates body biofilms.
Right, that's why we use
it. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that cause autoimmune disease.
Well, then one of the things I do is I have the guy from Reverse Speech, and I've discovered all this stuff because he's an expert in Australia. And when I get him back on the program, you have to understand when you take someone's Reverse Speech, whether it's an appropriate meeting or a speech that someone's giving politically, the soul never lies, whether it's good or bad. And if you reverse it and actually pull the phrases in Reverse Speech out of them, because it crosses the boundaries from between the realm of vague entropy, the consciousness, to the vague entropic world, to the entropic world of time-space, it's always truth. For example, when Barack Obama is running around saying, when he's campaigning, yes, we can, yes, we can, you know what he's saying, actually, Reverse Speech? Thank you, Satan. His name, Barack Obama, means lightning fallen from heaven. Did you know he was given that by Brigadier Zbigniew Brzezinski? It means lightning, Barack Obama, from heaven. That's his Kenyan name. Did you know that?
I did know that.
He did know it, right?
I did. Don't forget, his family were some of the bigger slave owners in Kenya before the British came and outlawed slavery.
And by the way, they weren't blacks. These were Arabs that owned the slaves.
Oh, of course, they're Islamic. Well, the average American black was indeed descended from slaves. The slaves were originally sold in Africa to slave traders who brought them here, but they were sold by Muslim slave traders in
right.
Africa.
People don't realize that the people who were selling them were Muslim slave traders.
Yeah, so it's ironic that they are being sucked back into the Nation of Islam, the very identity of the people who sold them into slavery in the first place, and
right,
made them slaves.
And made them die in ships, and the survivors managed to get to America, the stronger ones to work in plantations, etc. Bizarre. Now, if you're listening out there and you're black, you need to realize this is the truth, and the truth will set you free. I am there, your brother, no matter whether your skin is black or yellow or brown or whatever. I'm your brother. I'm your big bro. And I'm here, sent back from the dead, to tell you the truth, to set you free intellectually, geopolitically, health-wise, and spiritually, to create a new human race where we're all empathic, and we are both an I and a we. And we're so connected, we realize we're cells in a body. not only in the present, but in the past and future. And when we start grasping that, we'll stop acting to kill or hurt or do damage to anybody else of any other nation or any other person in front of you or around you or even in the future. We will have much more responsibility for the nature of what we are as the bride of the Queen of Heavens. That's where our destiny is. Our destiny is to become a galactic civilization that's godly. Right now, we are an ungodly mess. America is both a duality of the daughter of Zion and a daughter of Babylon. That's why when you leave, you know, Long Island, New York, and you see all these little places where they're storing fuel, it says Babylon. And when you go into New York Harbor and you see the Statue of the Liberty statue is actually a statue of Ashtoreth, the fertility goddess of the ancient pagans that were the alternative belief system while the Jews were in the Christians, and the ancient Hebrews were in Israel. People need to realize these are ancient Druidic gods or basically worship the same powers and demonic hierarchies of the ancient world. And when you go to New York Harbor, you're seeing literally the fertility goddess called Ashtoreth. It's the same one they worship when they go to Bohemian Grove.
Well, we're moving toward Easter right now. Named for Oestre, the Nordic goddess of dawn. Where in the Bible, show me, is there a rough reference to Jesus being with bunnies and eggs?
Right.
There isn't. Those are pagan references.
Right.
In fact, Oestre had a magic bird whom, with magic, she transformed into a bunny, but the bunny was still able to lay eggs like a bird.
Right.
That's where the whole Easter tradition of the bunny and the egg comes from. It also came from Babylon, where the Jews were held, where they believed that Earth came down and was created by a giant egg falling into the river Indus, one of those two rivers, Babylon.
Right.
And among other traditions that they had there, they colored the eggs. The women gathered eggs in baskets woven of reeds from the river. They wore bonnets woven from reeds in the river.
Right.
Virtually everything you associate culturally with Easter, except Jesus himself, came from paganism.
Well, what they do is they refer to this goddess as the Queen of the Heavens. So all the pagan religions, and really it's a displacement of us. We are with the marriage supper of the Lamb when Yeshua, God, returns as a God in the flesh. Remember what God told me not to say for 60 years? He did in heaven when he brought me to tens of thousands of worlds. Is his God is incarnated and brought his scripture and incarnated in flesh in both humanoid and non-humanoid beings across the cosmos. Jesus is not the only incarnation of God. But there's only one God, not three gods like the pagans teach and the Christians. It says in the Bible, behold, Babylon the Great. You know, abominations on the earth, the mother of harlots. Guess what? That's the Catholic Church, which is Druidic. And that's why the Pope's hat looks like an open fish toward the sky, because it's referring to the Druids, which are ancient Draco-Reptilians from the star system Alpha Draconis. They were the rulers of Earth for hundreds of thousands of years under Luciferic control of this part of the cosmos.
And by the way, the authentic Jews had to deal with this. They had to deal, for
exactly.
example, with the pagans who believed in infant sacrifice.
Well, let me explain about that. They had the days
and now
of,
we have abortions.
They had the days of Moloch and Baal. And the days of Moloch and Baal, what happened is at the end of it, they do the ceremony called the Ceremony of Ashtoreth. The symbol that they call the symbol of Israel was given by the Rothschilds several hundred years ago to Israel. That symbol, which is the Syzygy star of two intersecting triangles, is not the symbol of Israel. It's a symbol of Ashtoreth. And what happened is you'd have lascivious sex other than with your husband. And when you got pregnant, you'd sacrifice the baby 9 months to the day later in a full moon ceremony. And if you didn't have one, you'd make a baby with cardamom and other spices to make a baby that looked like a gingerbread baby girl or boy. And you'd take that baby cookie, or, you know, shaped like a baby, and put it in the arms of Moloch, or a live baby if you had a pregnancy, and you'd sacrifice that baby or that the child of cardamom on the arms of Moloch, the owl, which is exactly what they do in Bohemian Grove. They've done human sacrifice there, okay? And what people start grasping here is the modern state of Israel, I refer to as, it's a real hell. It's a real hell. And when I said that on the air, by the way, when I had on the 9th of January, Barbara Honiger, who's actually one of the witnesses before 9/11 Commission, that's in New York City, and she was a CIA agent for several administrations and the main CIA agent for several administrations in the U.S. government with several presidents. The YouTube people threatened to ban me for making that statement. Now, I'm Hebrew. I'm of both Jewish and Kohanim descent and Syrian Christian Lebanese, okay? So I want people to grasp the fact these maniacs on YouTube try to do that, which is why I've now got Brighteon and Vimeo besides. So if these idiots at YouTube try to cut me off because I make these statements, I'm not threatening Israel. I want to save them. I don't want Arabs, Christians, or Jews to die in Israel from a coming war because this maniac, Mr. Netanyahu, if he gets reelected, he wants to attack the Bashar reactor with nukes. And most of the people in Israel, if they start a big war, are going to die from a missile attack. From Eilat to Tel Aviv to Haifa will die with missile attacks. There's so damn many missiles, their so-called Iron Dome will not protect them and even our theater air defense. I was their doctor for decades. I know what the hell's going on, and they don't have any defense against the number of missiles coming in. None. And when I hear lies by people, think, well, we gave tankers so that the Israeli Air Force can get all the way to the Bashar reactor and fly back. They're morons. I don't care if you blow it up and then we all have to suck up that radiation. The state of Israel was going to go through a living hell because the Muslims are not going to put up with it. And even if every Muslim city is burned up with nuclear fire, they're going to destroy Israel. Israel is going to go down hard, isn't it?
Oh, it could very well, but it will take a lot of people and things with it.
Oh, the only place that might be saved is Jerusalem. Everything else is going to get fried. The Muslims don't want to blow up Jerusalem, but everything else, if you're living in any other city or territory inside Israel and there's a war started, you're going to die, sucker. Because this idiot, and by the way, it's dependent that Donald J. Trump and his son-in-law have got this treaty that five times this guy, CFR member Netanyahu, wants to get elected against his opposition. And by the way, he's done so many corrupt things he could go to jail over it. And Netanyahu, if he gets this treaty, and the Palestinians accept it because they rejected it before, but they've been offered $50 billion by Donald J. Trump. And if they accept it, they've already said they're going to nominate, and this is in the public media, so you can go check if you don't want to believe the egos, think I made it up in my mind or I'm narcissistic egomaniac. No. Read the damn media, go check it yourself. Donald J. Trump will get the title of King of Israel. He's now, for 2 years now, in the shekel, half shekel, along with King Darius of Persia, descendant of Queen Esther. 2,500 years ago, built the temple because the Persians had direct link to the ancient Israelis. In fact, the daughter of the king of the Medes married my ancestor and formed a family group called the Nymas, which is the only lineal 24 family that's directly lineal descendants from Moses. Okay? My family were the Magi that gave the gifts to Jesus 2,000 years ago. Okay? So people need to know that. My great uncle, 100 years ago, published it in his publishing house in Beirut, the book, Khalil Gibran's book, The Prophet. That book was a prophecy of the coming of one as Moses at the time of the end. That person is Dr. Bill Deagle, whose otherwise name, my mother's name, is Naima, which is the Naomi tribe of the Medes, was the daughter of the king of the Medes who married my ancestor 2,800 years ago, and a prophecy 2,000 years ago given by Jesus directly. And these things, like me calling forward and saying that you, in your latter life now, are not just a brilliant man, but an author of all these books with Craig Smith. You have a prophetic and apostolic calling because the people are dying for lack of truth. They don't understand the geopolitical systems that are going on now and the election thing that's going on or the dangers to society. Society is collapsing. We have SARS, proliferation of nuclear weapons, biological chemical weapons, earth changes, climatic things, locusts. Do they not understand this is like the ancient plagues of ancient Egypt? We're there. This is not a prelude. It's not a warm-up. It's not a, you know, this is the big show. This is it, isn't it?
Could well be, yes.
It's not a well be, it's an absolute. I could say, thus saith the Lord.
Well, I don't have your direct channel.
Well, let's put it this way. It's just need to pray on it. Just pray on it. I tell people, this is not my opinion. This is a thus saith the Lord. I can't give you the timeline because God's restraining it so I don't have to carry this to my grave. But I can tell you, it started 3 weeks ago, the apocalypse.
Oh, I didn't say it was opinion. I simply don't have your channel of knowledge.
Well, that's the reason why I want people to pray on it, because, see, they have to hear from somebody like me, and you as a you have a prophetic word. I only have so many 3x5 cards. They don't know everything. People think I do. And if you ask me a question, I'll give you a straight-up answer. But a lot of people do have other answers, like John W. Spring or my guest in a few minutes here, Jonathan Gray, who's an ancient archaeologist who's traveled the world excavating sites in Jerusalem and all over the world in South America and been underground cities and tunnels all over the planet. He knows things I don't know, and he's taught me over the years we've had him on the show. What I want people to understand is we are a collective to bring wisdom to the people, so it's not just a monologue, it's a polylogue, if you want to call it, or not just a dialogue. Of people have received spiritual wisdom from the Creator God to tell people, you know, our God, in spite of all the horrors that are coming and are going to happen, is with us. See, Jesus said, you know, when he returns, will there be faith on the earth? The only reason why there's faith is because people believe God cares for them. The only reason why there's faith is because they're praying, even though their family are dying and their mother died from SARS, or there's starvation because the power grid went out and there's hypothermia and everything. You got to understand, if you listen and we prepare up, because we're telling people how to survive physically, that this is the time of the end. This is not like a prelude and things are going to get warm and everything's going to be fine and we're going to get through this. We're not going to get through this. Many of us...
You do not yet have a definitive picture of exactly what date various things will happen.
Well, God's going to reveal me.
Is it your impression that we're going to actually hold the election this November? Or is it going to be...
Well, I don't know. All I can tell you is... I can tell you right now the trajectory that Donald J. Trump is doing, if he survives and doesn't get impeached by his Diet Coke in his right hand, not Nancy Pelosi, because she's not going to impeach anybody, if the treaty gets passed and Donald Trump gets and Netanyahu gets elected and the Palestinians accept a peace accord, if they say that Donald J. Trump is the king of Israel, which they're talking about in open media in Israel, and if Donald Trump goes into the temple when the evangelicals, I call evil jellyfish, and they... minority of Jews, which we're tomorrow going to have on the program, Pastor Carl Gallups, whose Messianic pastor, whose family had been basically rabbinical rabbis for thousands of years, and he's now a believer in Yeshua. You've got to understand here, people, that what's going on is a great number of the Jews, right from the book of Psalms, one third of the Jews will turn and see their Messiah coming back, and see a third of them will turn back to the greater God and realize Jesus, Yeshua, was indeed the incarnation of God in the flesh. Because they were lied to for thousands of years. They've been told, for example, in the Cepheid Zaire, that Jesus is suffering in Hades, boiling in human excrement, and being alive by insects and animals. Do you know that? That's what they teach.
Now, I know I'm talking to an informal point here, but according to the U.S. Constitution, no American who holds political office, can hold political title in another country. Do you have so if Trump is declared the king of Israel, he will have to renounce that title or the medical threat support.
I don't think he's going to do that. I think it's just going to be a statutory title. It's not going to be an actual political control of Israel. It'll be a statutory title. They want to worship him, you see, because he's going to bring peace to the Middle East. He's going to bring peace between Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Iran. He's going to stabilize us with Russia, and he's been trying to do that for years now. He wants to stabilize China. China's begging us. Save us from SARS and the collapse of our economy. China is now, in the middle of their SARS epidemic, decided to accept phase one of Trump's agreement. He's got brought China and China, listen to this, he's brought China and the three nations of our North America into two of the trade zones of the 10 trade zones of the World Trade Organization of the Council on Foreign Relations, published in the fall of 1973, which are the 10 kings in the Bible that give their power to the beast from an hour. America is both the daughter of Babylon and the daughter of Zion. It's God's will on earth, or it's the beast. And if you actually go into space and look down on earth, you can see the head of the dragon being Alaska, its belly being California, and its tail being Florida. We're dealing with a thing that the beast system and the control matrix literally is coming from Schriever Air Force. And interesting, the name of the city where they're at is Falcon, Colorado, 18 miles east of Colorado Springs, on Garbage Dump Road. Three high levels of security, and I know everything about it. I've been through the quantum array, supercomputer array of great computers underground. They have a node and a digital analysis for every individual on Earth, and they built in cyberspace just like the movie The Matrix, okay? If you think they're making this up, I'll give you all the technical details. I'll swamp you with so many details you can't believe it. But you got to understand here, all you need to do is pray on it and say, even if you only understand a hundredth of what I say, you need to realize what I'm saying is true and it's happening now. And God is going to be with us through this horror because it's going to get pretty damned awful. It's going to be very awful. A lot of people are going to lose hope. They're going to say, you know what? Is God with us? Yes, he is. And he sends idiots like me who are brave enough and crazy enough to actually tell you the truth, even though it will kill me. I will die a horrifying death telling the truth to you people out there, but I will do it because I love the Most High God that much. And you out there who even want to spit on me and curse at me, I will tell you the truth, even though it will result in my premature death. Okay? So get it, people. We're there. This is going to happen, and this year, 3 weeks ago, started the first day of the apocalypse. It started already this year. All right? And you got to get these books. Your book, again, I'm going to give the phone number again before you go, because they need to get this information. They don't understand. You and Craig Smith are talking what we call geopolitical and financial truth, which is part of the reason why we're going down the trail toward destruction. We're going to have an economic shock to the whole world, $188 trillion of debt. This is all by design because they want to collapse the economy because the next economy is going to be a matrix, cybernetic, blockchain thing where they have total control of everything. And if they just press Alt-Delete, you cease to exist in cyberspace, just like the rating system in China where if you're rated too low, you can't get healthcare, a drug, or get on a plane or train, or even get a job in China. And it's now approaching 14 million Chinese before even the
SARS. That's right, and the Chinese call it their social credit system. What it amounts to is all money, and you used to have apolitical money that you could go from one country to the other with. They want first to reduce all money to just credit.
Right, and it's either
they make the physical money disappear altogether, so you can't put it in your pocket, carry it.
Well, you got to understand.
And they, of course, have the ability to turn off that credit whenever they wish.
You'll accept this thesis that China
is—it's literally like the mark of the beast in the Bible.
Well, what do you have to understand? China is a laboratory for testing the prelude to the mark of the beast for the whole world. WhatsApp, which is a branch of Google, wouldn't do work with the Pentagon, but they work with the communist Chinese, and they want to bring this system back through Silicon Valley to the world. If you don't believe me and you think Deagle's making all this stuff up, you better damn well believe me and pray on it so the Urim and Thummim stones in the breastplate of your soul tell you, you know what? Deagle's not a lying piece of human garbage. He's my big brother trying to save my ass. And you better listen up or you're going to suffer first and then you're going to die not just a physical death, you're going to see a national death and a death of your eternal soul. This is not maybe you're going to get through this. No, you're not. This is going to be either serve God and hear the truth and respond to it or suffer and die. Not just a physical death. As Jesus said, you're not here who can destroy the body, but you can destroy the soul. The devil doesn't destroy anything. God, when grace ends and you stop listening to the words of truth, the only thing left is judgment. God is the creator. He's also the destroyer.
And you have a chance to be part of the saving remnant in that. But Craig Smith and I have written these seven books to give people an overview of what's happening in a political, and a historic, and a monetary level.
Right.
So you can see how you're being tricked and how you can get out of that trap if you want to. And to get that, the current book, Money, Morality, and Money, is absolutely free and postpaid. It will not cost you a penny. You just call 800-630-1492. Columbus Sail and Ocean Blue. This is a toll-free number, 800-630-1492. And thank you so much, Doug.
Well, that's the reason why you're a libertarian, because you ask questions, you seek the truth, and you want goodness to serve mankind, not suffer mankind, right?
Yeah, and the truth will set you free.
Thank you for coming on today. I know we went longer than usual, but it's that important because we're there at the end of the age. This is the end of the secular age of Luciferic control of Earth, isn't it? Raise the
oxygen level and energy. Could well be, yes. I know you don't like me saying that.
Well, you'll soon find. All you do is go off and pray on it. Just pray on it, and you know you'll get a feeling in your soul. Maybe this guy is not nuts. And you, if you pray and ask for dreams and visions, God will give you a dream and vision and say, you know what? I had a dream last night. That Deagle, he sounds really nuts now. I mean, I thought he was slightly nuts before, but now when I had that dream, I think I got this feeling maybe he's telling the truth. You have to understand, people, this is the big show. This is not a prelude. This is not like a warm-up. This is it.
Are you still looking for that
right?
Iodine?
Thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it. We'll see you then next week. And if you've got something urgent you want to get me on, I'll do a video any day of the week, 7 days a week.
Go further. Go to NutriMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine.
Well, thanks to people listening. You know, I want people to do it. They don't have to agree with us. Do three things. Ask better questions. Pray on it. Whatever portion of truth you accept, act on it. How's that? Easy to do. You don't have to accept everything. Accept what your soul tells you is true and act on it. How's that? It's fair. It's not unreasonable, right?
Right.
But we're there. Well, let's put it this way. Eternity doesn't start at the day of your death. I use this term to say, when you die, hell becomes evident when the body drops away. Heaven starts the day you Shema, hear and do the will of the Creator God, because it's not the Holy Spirit speaking in you, it's God Himself and the seed atom of eternity inside your soul speaking from the eternal realm of infinite knowledge and goodness. So that you have to understand we're being...
The essence of the Shema is the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Right. That's why I call it the one...
Get away from the devil's lie that we are a divided entity here. Ultimately, right. We're all one in God.
Right. I say we're what I call the one hyphen I hyphen verse. One I verse. Do you like that? It's the one I verse. Take care, and we'll talk again next week. God bless. Take care. Okay, we're going to be getting our next guest, Jonathan Gray, here in New Zealand in just a second.